that's more my personal story. This is my story. Never get tired of sharing about the Lord. Pick up a children's book, and oftentimes it will begin with these words, "Once upon a time." Flip the pages over to the end of the book, and you will often find these words, "And they lived happily ever after." And in between those two phrases, there will be a wonderful story of a prince or a princess, of dragons or whatever. And as children, we were always satisfied with that last line at the end of the book. "And they lived happily ever after." And we found that to be a perfect ending. End of story. While we have been working through the Gospel of John for 2 years, and now we come to today, our last look at John's Gospel in this study. John comes to a wonderful, satisfying ending. Listen as I read. Jesus told, he was talking to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The perfect ending. The gospel has been told, and it was written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. What a perfect ending. What else could John possibly say that could be more important than this? But wait, John gives us that ending in chapter 20. Yet there are 21 chapters in the gospel. So perfect is the ending in chapter 20 that some scholars want to believe that John added it on a later time. They think of chapter 21 as part of a second edition of the book, the revised version or a sequel. Anyways, John completes his gospel. He comes to this perfect ending about why he wrote this book, so that those of us who cannot see Jesus might come to believe, and in believing, have life. But before he can put his pen down and say, "That's final," he has to add one more thing. Of course, being led by the Holy Spirit. And this is what we are going to look at. I'm going to begin to read on first verse of chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We're going to go with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then, as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So, we just read that this was the third time Jesus showed himself. The first time John wrote about Jesus' appearing was after Mary Magdalene saw her Lord in the garden and had returned to tell the disciples. It says in verse 19 of chapter 20, that same first day of the week, when it was evening, though the disciples were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace to you." 8 days later, it says in verse 26, his disciples were again in the house together and Jesus came. This time Thomas was there, and as we know, he said he would not believe unless he saw for himself, for he was absent when Jesus appeared to the other disciples the first time. But now even Thomas believed because he had proof. He saw for himself. Why am I mentioning all of this? It's because I do not have any doubt that in the minds of all the disciples, their Jesus, the one who they believed was the Messiah, was now alive. He was the resurrected one. But still, where do we find them? They were hiding out. Can you use your imagination? How would you be feeling at this point? If I allow myself to be in the story, I would have felt dejected. I would have been looking for some recognition, but no. It's been just ridicule from those out there in the streets. The thought that no one got to sit on either side of Jesus in his kingdom. He certainly didn't come to lead by killing anyone, but instead allowed himself to be killed. And now, I've only seen him twice, alive, and really not clear on what he is planning to do. So, in my thinking, I ask myself, how is it that Peter, after seeing Jesus twice alive and seeing all the miracles he performed, ends back at the Sea of Tiberias, where Jesus called him to follow him? But in our story, here we see Peter making a decision, and he says, "I'm going fishing." Inside his mind, he must have had quite the thoughts that led him to say, "I am going fishing." I can just imagine his thoughts, because I have found myself at times thinking such thoughts. I don't care about all those miracles or signs. I don't care about the fact that Thomas got to see and feel the scars in his hands. I don't care, and I sure don't know why he is trying to do what he's trying to do. I've seen him twice in the past 8 days, and he called me to follow him. I just don't get it. I'm going fishing. I'm sure these thoughts were going through all the other six that were there, because as soon as Peter, who was the most vocal, said, "I'm going fishing," they all agreed and said, "We are going with you." So in John's fishing story, we see Peter going back to walk by sight and not by faith. He goes back to the place where he started. How often do we do the same when God seems not to be doing something we think he should be doing? We slip right back in what we are comfortable with, relying on our own provisions and doing things ourselves, doing the familiar. So just like Thomas, who was among them fishing, who saw and left and felt the hands and saw his scars, who said, "My Lord and my God," we see he has gone back fishing. They were not going to stay in the battle anymore. Their actions said, "I'm done with following Jesus. I'm going to go my own way, doing what I know. It's just too much for me to handle anymore. Wondering what you are up to, Lord, I give up." But the story does not end there. Our Lord does not give up on them or us. He shows up in the morning, as it is written, and further down in our chapter, we see the seven disciples tired, their bones aching from trying to fish all night, and some stranger calls out to them, "Boys, have you caught any meat?" Of course we know they answered, probably a bit annoyed, "No." But as we read, they were told to cast their nets on the right side of the boat, and their nets filled up with 153 large fish. Not till their nets were filled did the disciple whom Jesus loved, who we believe was John, recognize who the man was that stood on shore, asking them if they caught any fish. Actually, John writes here that the disciple whom Jesus loved told Peter, and Peter, who is naked and unprepared when the Lord shows up, wraps his cloak around himself, maybe because he was feeling ashamed and thinking, "I'm in a mess." Peter, realizing his condition, feels the need to cover up before he approaches his Lord. and he leaps into the water and swims to shore. Further in our story, Jesus says, come and dine. This is our Savior's desire, not to just come and see, but to come and dine with him. But often, we don't want him at our table. So back to our story, as Peter is helping his buddies who followed him to go fishing by dragging a full net of 153 fish, we see Jesus has made them breakfast. A breakfast of fish and bread was there ready for them. Where did he get these foods? He could have got the fish from the lake. That's easy to see. But how about the bread? I can't prove this, but when I use my imagination, I can see Jesus picking up some stones and reminiscing about the time when he was fasting and the devil tempted him, saying, "You are so hungry. If you want, you can turn stones into bread." And now Jesus, who has conquered over his enemy, says, "Okay, on my timetable, not yours, Satan." The word does not even tell us how many loaves of bread and fish there are on the fire. But can you imagine if there were 5 loaves and 2 fish? Can you imagine what was being said in no words? "Peter, did you think I could take care of you? Did you not think I could take care of you? Have you forgotten how I fed the 5,000? Why did you go back fishing?" But we see the Lord feeds Peter before he rebukes him. And before them all, Jesus asks him, "Simon, do you love me more than these?" Now, we are not sure if Jesus is referring to the fish they caught or to the others that are around him. But Peter replies, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep then, but not with your business efforts and with your security and your earthly fish." Did you see Jesus called Peter, not Peter, but by his own name, Simon? For when Jesus first called him by the same sea, his name was Simon, the name that belonged to his old nature. And right now, that was the way Peter was walking, in his old nature, walking after the flesh and not by the Spirit of God within. The second time, Jesus asks the same question. But I want to read it this time from the Amplified Version. It says, "Simon, lovest thou me with reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion as one loves the Father?" I believe this second time caused Simon Peter to truly examine his heart. He was now being made to be absolutely honest. Therefore, a deep reflection into his heart was being done. He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you, that I have a deep, instinctive, personal affection for you as a close friend." Jesus said to him, "Shepherd, tend my sheep." Peter was grieved, and I believe this is when Peter began to die to self as he said to the Lord, "You know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." I missed something. The third time Jesus did ask him that, and then Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep" again. Now Peter was ready to hear. At the third time, Peter was ready to hear what else the Lord was to tell him in verse 18. Down to verse 18, Jesus finally said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." I can just picture Jesus getting up and walking down the shore of the sea as he said, "Follow me." And Peter gets up and follows his Lord as he takes in what the Lord just told him, what he would be willing to do that would glorify God. So why have a chapter 21? I believe the Holy Spirit of God inspired it to be written, in part because it would be wrong to close the book without letting us know about the restoration of Peter. The last time Peter saw Jesus, he was denying him publicly. I don't know the man. Now in chapter 21, we see Peter has been fully restored. And if we didn't see this, we would wonder why Peter plays a leading role in the book of Acts. What an ending of John's gospel. With all that we have gained in knowledge, in learning of our Lord, from the beginning, as John wrote, "Behold the Lamb of God," from chapter 1, throughout his whole gospel, John shares with us about our Lord, who said, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate or the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine." The gospel has been told, and it was written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Imagine that our story from chapter 21 isn't about Peter. It's about you or I. You are standing eyeball to eyeball with the Lord Jesus, and he looks straight in the eye and asks you, "How much do you love me?" Whether you know it or not, every aspect of your life is interconnected to your sincere answer to that question. So when he speaks to me, do I hear, "Pauline, do you have any meat? Lovest thou me, Pauline?" He will call you by name. You will surrender and obey his call. "Follow me. Come and see. Come and dine. Do you have any meat? Lovest thou me?" Friend, today, this moment, is the day to answer. "Lord, I surrender. Lord, I repent of having my own way. Lord, I know I love you. Follow me." I'm going to close with reading the last portion of this whole chapter so that we've covered the chapter. "Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, 'Lord, who is the one who betrays you?' Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, 'But Lord, what about this man?' Jesus said to him, 'If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me.' Then this saying went out among the brethren, that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die. 'But if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?' This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which, if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Amen. So ladies, from our book of John, "Behold the Lamb." Thank you.